Welcome to Pastor Bill's classroom. We are in our study of the Corinthian letters, lesson 30, entitled Blueprints for a Happy Home, part 4.
Hello, welcome back. Our midweek study, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. In fact, I'm going to put the verse we're going to focus on, at least to begin with, here in chapter 7, verse 3 on the screen. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife. What is that? We've been looking at that. And likewise, the wife also to her husband. We're going to be looking at that also today. We are just taking the scriptures as they come. They speak to every issue of life, and especially these big issues like marriage, like husbands and wives and children, and how do we run a home, and how do we run a church, and what are these things? And so we have to go by the things that God says, not to us to determine what these definitions are and what the blueprints are. And we've been looking at that. So we're going to be there. I want to ask you to actually turn to the book of Ephesians, which is where we're going to be spending most of our time. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. We're going to be picking at that up in just a second. But let's pray together. While you're finding a Bible there, let's just pause for a second. God, thank you for leaving us with the information that we need. Not all the information that there is, but the information we need to live righteously, godly, to be prepared for whatever's coming in our world and our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd bless these teachings and this study, God, because it is your word, and we're seeking you, and you promised, God, that you would open our eyes. You promised, God, you'd bless us in that process. So we're just calling on that very thing, God, and we know that you're faithful to fulfill your promises. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24, we'll be considering God's overall blueprints for marriage. In general, we started there in the book of Genesis, and then we've been moving on to the specific blueprints, and we've done two different time sessions together looking at the blueprints for the husband. And now, we're going to be looking at the blueprints, specifically the wife's page, the blueprints, if you will, for the blueprints, as we're calling it, for a happy home. Now, we're ready to look at that. Here, we've been reading them every time, but we've not been specifically paying attention to them. Here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 22 through 24. Wives, it says, be subject or submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That is saying a lot. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Remember, we have this responsibility. We've been calling it the skit called marriage. The skit called marriage has roles. One is the role of the Savior, that's the husband. The other one is the role of the church, that's the wife. And so it's important that we play our roles or it won't work. Husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything, that is, subject to their husbands in everything. So, Bible teaches us, here's just blueprints straight out, that wives are to submit or be subject to their husbands. You may not like that. And, you know, I guess it's not for you to like. Neither do I like, as a husband, being the Savior. I don't like playing the role of Jesus in a marriage. And obviously, I'm not Jesus, but I have to be the Savior. I have to be the one who sacrifices, to be the one that gives myself up. I prefer my wife to be that. But we don't get to decide that. We have to go by a blueprint. The problem with our marriages is that we try to run our marriage the same way the world does, and the world doesn't know what it's doing. They got the wrong set of blueprints. And so, quite often, what's happening is because we're running it according to the world, our marriages within the church are looking just like the world's marriages, which aren't all working out very well. And so, we have to, this is not up for vote. This is for us to say, amen, God. With your help, I'm going to do what you say because you're the one that created man and woman. You're the one that created marriage. I trust you. It teaches that a wife is supposed to submit to her husband. It does not teach, just to be clear, that women in general are supposed to be submitting to men in general. That is not what this is teaching. That's not true. We are all to be submitting to each other in reverence to Christ. It tells us that in the previous verses. So men, women, doesn't make any difference. But within the marriage unit, the wife, which happens to be female, got to say that anymore, submits to the husband, which happens to be male. But it's a wife and husband relationship strictly that's being spoken of here. It's important we say that. In everything that God creates, everything from the angelic creatures to the animals, even the lowest animals, God has ordained a chain of command. It's important for us to grasp this. Now, God, since God created man and woman, and since He created marriage, He's got a right to create that chain of command any way that He wants. And the chain of command is that the husband is to be the head of the wife. Don't mess with it. Again, you want to have this big conversation and say it's not a great idea, and we're going to get into some of that in just a second, but the best thing to do is just simply say, okay, God knows what He's doing. Let it go with that. Additionally, the submission that, and it's important, again, that we understand this, that God is requiring of the wife is the same submission that is being practiced, interestingly enough, within the Godhead. The Bible tells us, we're going to see it, that there is a submission within the Trinity. Watch what this says. Here's the chain. You want the chain of command in one verse? Here it is. The husband must fulfill... that one we backed up on, right? Here it is. I want you to understand, this is 1 Corinthians 11:3, that Christ is the head of every man, that specifically speaking of husbands, and that the man or the husband is the head of the woman or wife, and God is the head of Christ. So God the Father is ahead of Christ. Christ is ahead of the man. The man is the head of the woman. Follow the chain of command? Again, not up for a vote. It's just up for say, amen, God. You know what you're doing because He does. And because we don't, can we come to the place where we say that we don't know what we're doing, that the world doesn't know what it's doing? Because can we come to that place? This will never fix itself. Like somebody said, if you continue to do what you've done, you'll continue to get what you've got. So we continue to run the world, our marriages by the way of the world, and you know what? The world does not know what it's doing. These are God's blueprints. It's for us to say, amen, God, you know what you're doing. It's not for us to like it. These are not put out there to say, would you please like these things? No. These are not a signature page on the blueprints. It's not asking for our signature. It's simply saying it has God's signature on it. You and I need to follow it. If we want it to go right, you want to mess it up, I mean, there's a million ways we can do that. Only one way for it to be right. So let's from this descriptive here in 1 Corinthians 11:3, we understand what this form of submission is. There are several forms of submission. There is a submission between, for instance, myself and my dog. It's not the same. So there's no equality. There's a form of submission between me and my child. It's not the same because there's no equality. I'm an adult and she's a child. This is not the same because this submission is the same submission that is carried out within the Godhead, within the Trinity. Jesus submits to God the Father. So here's a question. Is Jesus not equal to God the Father? Be careful with that one because you talk about treading on some very, very important theology. Absolutely, Jesus is equal to God the Father. In fact, if He is not equal to God the Father, we are all going to die in our sins. It's that critical. Jesus is not God. And He cannot save, because only God can save. So it is blasphemous to say that Jesus is anything less than God in His fullness. Nevertheless, within the Godhead, Jesus submits to the Father. The implication is this type of submission implies, in fact, demands equality among those who are either superior or submitting. Just a chain of command. Got nothing to do with quality or inequality. In fact, equality is absolutely required. It demands it. Submission is moot, this type, if there is no equality. So there is no, if there submission within between a husband and a wife is moot if there is no equality. It demands that there is equality. The wife is equal to the husband. Husband is equal to the wife. But they can't both be in charge. That's the issue. And so who gets to decide that? Well, neither one of you get to decide it. God has already decided it, and we have to go by what He says. So, again, let's listen to what He says. So this is, first of all, critical we understand that this is submission among equals. Also, it is submission that means it's voluntary. So it's voluntarily submitting oneself to someone who is equal to oneself because they are for the sake of the chain of command. For the sake of that. You submit to their authority because they've been given this authority. So, and then also a fourth thing, your submission is imperative when there is a, like I said, a chain of command. Let's be perfectly frank about this. I mean, God did not, when he picked the man, ladies, gentlemen, pick necessarily the smartest between the two of you. Can I get an amen? He did not pick the prettiest for sure, or the most capable. In fact, in many cases, the wife may be more capable in a lot of those things than the man is. It's got nothing to do, hear me, this chain of command has nothing to do with intelligence, with capabilities, with skills. If anything, if you have a husband who is a godly leader, he will recognize the capabilities of his wife and exalt her. Oh no, she's the smartest of these things. She's the one that knows. But again, if you understand this, his leadership is just simply, he's the one that's responsible for what happens. He doesn't have to be the smartest. In fact, chain of command requires no intelligence whatsoever. Not an issue of intelligence or capabilities. It's an issue of he gets orders and passes them down. Chain of command. Again, this submission is based on equality, not inequality. And those are factors, like I said, have little to do with the God-ordained leadership that God has within the marriage. Intelligence capabilities are not the top priority when it comes to chain of command. It's receiving and following orders from the top. So how intelligent do I have to be to just receive orders? I could be a tape recorder and just play that tape back. There's no intelligence in that. Sometimes you may think that's all your husband is. Well, you submit to that. Because why? Because God ordained. It's honoring God, not necessarily your husband. He doesn't have to be very smart or capable to receive and follow orders because that's just the way chain of command works. Here's the chain of command. Again, God the Father, to God the Son, God the Son, to God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to the head of the head of the home, to the rest of the family. God will always seek to lead the family through his chain of command. God will not go around that chain of command. So if you want it to work, you got to work it. It's got to be the way that he says. Again, we don't get a vote in this. And as a husband, I have to say, I don't really like it either. I think my wife is better. But I don't get to choose that. We don't get to choose that. Our families and marriages are failing. Why? Very simply, because husbands are not being the servant leaders God has called them to be, and wives are not submitting to their leadership. It's that simple. It's no more difficult than that. It's hard to do those things, but that's the simple reason, very, very, very clearly. Again, we don't get to make up our own definitions of blueprints. We don't get our own set here and say, God, you have to bless this set because we don't like the way you did it. I'm sorry, I wouldn't expect him to respond very well to that in your relationship. We adopt blueprints from our society and culture because they agree with our sinful natures. Be careful what nature you're following. Sometimes we do not know, as Jesus said to John and James, you do not know what spirit you are of. It's easy to be of the spirit of the world. You don't want that. It'll destroy your relationship. Our society did not create marriage. It did not create man and woman. As someone has said, never ask a loser to tell you how to win. That's what you're doing. You go to the world. Listen to the way the world did it. We think someone may have a good marriage, but it's just because they're saying it. You don't live with them. You don't have really any idea what's going on there. God is the only ones that have the blueprints. We do not ask a loser to tell us how to win. God does not lose. So hear me carefully on this. Since God is not a loser and does not lose, you will never see a truly successful marriage or home where the husband doesn't take seriously his responsibility to be the servant leader, the savior, the sacrificer of himself for his wife, and where you don't see the wife submitting to that leadership. You won't find it. It doesn't exist. Only these blueprints work. Our families and marriages are failing because we're following a different set of blueprints. So what does wife submitting to the husband's leadership specifically look like? Well, look at verse 22. What does it look like? Wives, submit to your husbands. Very clear there. It's real short. As to the Lord. As if God were speaking through him. Because that's the way God does things. You no longer, you and him. Before you got married, it was you. Before he got married, it was him. And you both went to the Lord. Now, within the got to honor the one flesh, there's not two of you. There's just one. The two become one, right? And so you're not led down separate paths. Part of the way marriage doesn't work is because we try to run our married life like our single life. And if you do that, you will not be married very long, or you'll be miserable in that marriage, I promise. We have to honor the one flesh. It's not me. It's not her. It's us. Within the us, God's going to lead through the man. God will always lead through the man. It's got nothing to do with his intelligence, capabilities. In fact, can we all say he's less intelligent and capable in many cases? It's got everything to do with God's ordained command chain. We have to honor that. As to the Lord, this is heavy stuff. So I know your husband isn't Jesus, but Jesus will lead through your husband. That's hard. And, sir, I know that you're not Jesus, and yet you're called to be the Savior. You're called to be the sacrificer, the one who lays his life down. It's heavy stuff, both sides. Heavy requirements, because in the skit called marriage, it's critical that we play our roles. Because otherwise, we dishonor the one who created those roles, and we also dishonor the picture that those roles were created to portray. Wives submit to their husbands the same way that they would to the Lord. It's heavy. As to the Lord, submitting to the Lord means to abide in Him when we submit to the Lord. Rest in Him, trust and lean on Him, abandon oneself to the Lord as the leader of your life, submitting in His expression of confidence. So can you say you're confident that God will lead through your husband? You need to be able to say that. You don't know my husband. No, I bet I do. Here's what I know. I know that your husband has some faults and some problems, and I know that he doesn't have it all together. I know that because I happen to be one of those kind of husbands. Can you trust that even though your husband has shortcomings, that God is bigger than those shortcomings? Can you trust that? God's in charge, and numbskulls are not, even though your husband may be one. Can he work? Do you believe that God can work and lead through your husband despite his shortcomings and failures? God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. Again, what are we doing when we submit? We're honoring the system, not necessarily any link within the system. Well, your husband is, you know, can be a knucklehead. I know. I'm a husband. You know that. You know that you could be that too. We're all short, right? We've all fallen short of the glory of God and fallen short of each other and our expectations. But can we honor the power of God who's created both of us and put us both together and say, God, you're able to even take this faulty parts and turn them into something that's absolutely beautiful? Can we do that? We have to be able to do that. Two have become one flesh. We have to honor that. This does not mean that you do not have input, but you don't have any more input than your husband does. What kind of input is there in a chain of command? I don't know. I'm being told this. Maybe I should put some input into it. No. The leader says, Holy Spirit says, this is what you're doing. You don't get a vote. You just get to say, yes, sir. That's the way it works. So your husband doesn't have any input either. Not any more than you do. Because why? Because God is the one who's leader over both of you. You're in equal partnership, but your husband has primary responsibility. That's all it is. Doesn't mean the smartest, doesn't mean the most capable, it just means he takes responsibility for this mess, whatever it is, whatever level that is. Doesn't mean he's the wisest or smartest at all, he just takes responsibility. There was a man under conviction about the way he was treating his wife, and so he just, before God, asked God to forgive him, and that he needed to change his behavior and turn over a new leaf, and so on the way home, he buys a bouquet of flowers, and instead of just barging into the house like he normally did, he knocked on the door, waited for his wife to come, and then when she came to the door, he got down on one knee with the flowers held out and began to sing, you know, I love you truly to her. And she just, I mean, broke out in this horrible sobbing fit. And I'm not tears of joy, like just desperation. And, I mean, he did not expect that. He thought, I mean, maybe tears of joy, maybe, you know, I forgive you or whatever. but not the way she responded. It was like it was the worst thing. And he just couldn't get through to her. I mean, she was just inconsolable. Finally, he finally got her to calm down a little bit and explain what was going on. She said, "You just don't understand. I've had the worst day. I burned the pot roast. Your kids were terrible. But now you come home drunk," she said, referring to the way he greeted her at the door. Listen, ladies, give him a chance. Give him a chance. He needs a chance. He does. Men, we need to give each other chances. Wives need to give chances. Husbands need to give chances to our wives as well. We must. So number one, what does it mean to wives to submit to the husband? Accept your husband as the leader of the marriage. Number one. Number two, give yourself to him. I want to, for that reference, I want us to turn to one more place, if you would with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go there. We're in Ephesians. Or at least I was. 1 Peter chapter 3, near the end of the Bible back there. 1 Peter chapter 3, here's another, I think, important statement about husbands and wives' submission and how that actually works within, in some cases, not the best circumstances. Watch carefully what this says. It says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands." It's the same thing that Paul said. Again, both of these guys inspired by the Holy Spirit. We don't get to make these plans up. These are God's plans. "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word," so this is a non-Christian that you're married to, possibly, "even if they are, they may be won," notice, "without a word, by the behavior of their wives." This is important. Not by you badgering them, but by the way you live, they're won over to Christ. "As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, that's just all you're dependent upon, but everything else isn't that great. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable qualities of gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, the former times, holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." And it goes on to talk about Sarah and how she was submissive to Abraham, etc. So this emphasis here is what's on the inside. Beauty is only skin deep, as they say. No, not at all. Beauty has nothing to do with skin. That's what he's saying. Beauty is what comes from the inside. That's where the difference is. Present yourself to your husband as with one that's beauty on the inside. Beauty flows from the heart. Proverbs 31 woman, we're not going to take time to read about her, but one of the things it says there is that she was a woman whom her husband had total confidence in. It says here, because of her chaste conduct, he didn't have to worry about his wife. His wife was going to do what was right. His wife was going to act right, was going to treat God and other people right. She was going to be right no matter what. He had total confidence in her. It's also, by the way, this passage answers a big question among believers. What if my husband isn't a believer? Do I still submit to him? What does it say there in verse 1? Yes. Again, he's not even a believer. But the Bible says you're to honor the relationship because God is the one that created the husband and the wife, and God is the one that created marriage. Can you believe that God is bigger even than an unbeliever to be able to lead your home? It's to you. Can you believe that? It's the saying you should. Pastor tells the story of a woman who came to him with a similar question, similar problem. My husband isn't a believer. And she said, I continue to witness to him, plead with him, and he still hasn't accepted the Lord. And so the pastor was listening and was thinking, wow, I wonder how much he's being subjected to here. He said, so tell me what you do. She said, well, every morning I fix his breakfast, and when he comes downstairs to eat and is headed out to work, I share with him Christ. And then when he doesn't accept Christ, I cry. And so pastor thinking to himself, so every single morning this man is spending with a crying woman. I mean, hell itself would seem like a step up from that. He didn't say that to her, but he just said, ma'am, he showed her this verse. He said, ma'am, it says right here we're supposed to win them without a word. He says, so I want you to honor the scriptures, and I want you to stop talking to him about it. You've already said everything you're going to say. He already knows your position. He already knows, you know, he's heard 1,000 times how to accept Christ. Leave him alone. Just as it says here, live a chaste life in front of him. Do your best to honor him and to honor God. Respect him as your husband, because God, that's what he is for you. You respect him, you respect the chain of command, you respect that God has created you and that God knows your circumstances and God is bigger than the unbelieving husband that you have. He said, no kidding, in 6 months, this man accepted Christ. Because why? Because the scriptures work. They do. We can rely upon him. It brings up one more question and we're going to be done with this. But what if my husband wants me to do things that are wrong against God's word? Well, then that's a different story. You're under your husband's authority until he wants you to break God's authority. Again, it's not your authority, what you think God says, but it's actually what God says. Then, you're always under God's authority. So I hope this is good. We're going to be spending some time next time. We're going to end the husband and wife thing. We're going to be looking next time at singles. So is it wrong to be single? You spend all this time on couples? No, not at all. In fact, Paul's going to basically say in chapter 7, it's what he recommends as opposed to marriage. But he says, as he says there, everybody has their gift. So we'll see that next time. All right, let's pray together and ask God to bless these teachings in our hearts and minds. God, we thank you. You created marriage. You created the roles. You left absolutely nothing for our designs or for us to decide or sign off on. This is not up for us to vote on. Instead, for us just simply say, God, you know what you're doing. God, you're right. God, we don't have to see it. We don't have to like it. It doesn't have to feel good to us. But that you said it, we're going to do it. With your help, God, help us to be the husbands and the wives that you've called us to be so that our marriages can be what they're supposed to be in this world. Testimony, among other things, about the relationship between Christ and the church. Forgive us, God, when we failed that testimony. Heal us from it, God. Send us back in the right direction, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.